What a beautiful name. Let's get into this. I'm going to be in many different scriptures today, but you can turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, and then you can go to Psalm chapter 147, and then I'm going to be in Matthew and Ephesians, and I'm just going to be all over the place, all right? So just get your Bible out, all right, and get ready, okay? So Philippians 2, verse 9 says this: therefore God elevated him to a place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, somebody say Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Somebody say, what a beautiful name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 147, verse 1 through 3 says this. It says, hallelujah, praise the Lord. How beautiful it is when we sing praises to the beautiful God. This is from the Passion Translation. Let me say that again. How beautiful it is when we sing praises to the beautiful God. For praise makes you lovely before him. This phrase actually means that it draws him to you. Praise draws God to you. God, how many of you know the scripture says God inhabits the praises of his people? Amen? So praise makes you lovely before him. It draws him to you. It's like a sweet fragrance in his nostrils. And it says, and brings him great delight. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcast and brings them home. He heals the wounds of every shattered heart. Amen. Somebody look at someone and say, his name is Jesus. Now look at somebody else and say, he's my healer. Amen. Amen. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Jesus, my healer. That's what I want to talk to you about just for a few minutes today. And then we're going to have a time of ministry with you today. And I believe God's going to set so many people free in this place today. I believe Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. How many of you believe that? He set the atmosphere already. He set the table is what he did. He laid it all out. He put the finest china on the table. The finest silverware is out there, right? He's got it all set. And then he brought the feast to the table, and he laid it out on the table for us today. And now he just wants us to step up to the table and experience his goodness. Amen? Matthew 4, 23 and 24 says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. This is from the New Living Translation. It says he healed how many kinds? Does it say it up there? And he, how many kinds? Every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. How many did he heal? How many? He healed them all. Amen? He didn't leave one out. He healed them all. So here's my question. I'm going to ask you several questions today. Here's my question to you today. Does Jesus still heal today? Ooh, that was quick. Somebody's been teaching about healing around here. Does Jesus still heal today? Yes, he does. I mean, the short answer is yes, but, you know, we know that the Bible says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? So if he healed yesterday, he heals today, and he's going to heal forever. Well, that was good right there. I mean, if we just get that down deep, right? But there are still questions out there. There's so many questions out there. Even in the church, there are questions out there. And some of these questions, you need to understand, some of these questions come straight from the enemy. Satan is sponsoring and promoting a campaign with these questions because he wants to paralyze you with fear. Oh, man, I hope you're getting what's going on right now, because when they were singing up here and the songs they were singing, and then Lydia went into that free flow there, at the end, what was she singing in free flow? She didn't know what my message was about. Y'all understand this? We don't get together and say, okay, so I'm going to say this, so you sing this. We don't do that. We don't talk like that. We don't share those things. We don't set it up ourselves. We let Holy Spirit set it up. I'm just telling you, you got to connect the dots, find out what God's doing in this place and in your heart and life, what he's trying to say to you. She started singing that free flow about fear, that God's going to wash all that away. He's going to break every chain of fear. And then here in my message, I want to focus on this today. I want to focus on this. Satan wants to paralyze you with fear. So he'll bring questions to you. And he'll pose these questions in such a way that you feel like it's yourself thinking these questions. You feel like, why, you know, I have these questions about this. And here are some of the questions. He'll bring questions like, if Jesus still heals today, then why is there still sickness? If Jesus heals today, then why is there so much disease? Why is disease getting worse? Why is sickness getting worse? Why are more people getting cancer today than ever before if Jesus still heals today? That's a question that Satan will bring to you. Or a question like this, why did someone I know and love die from a sickness or disease? Here's one of the worst questions, and so many people ask this question or at least hear this question from the enemy and start contemplating it, and here it is, am I not being healed because I did something wrong and God's punishing me? And that's a question that the enemy will bring to so many people. I can't tell you the number of people that I have counseled that said, maybe I've done something wrong. Maybe God is not answering my prayer because I did something. Those are questions from the enemy. Those are questions straight from the pit of hell. You know why I got this little stand? Is so I can get closer to you guys. I have nothing really in between us. There's so many questions like this that Satan will bring to us because he wants us to stay in question of healing. He doesn't want us to believe. He just wants us to question. Now think about this. This is the reason, because if you're questioning it, you're not believing it. You can't question it and believe it. True, simple, but true. You cannot question it and believe it. There can't be doubt and belief in your mind at the same time. Right? If you're doubting it, you're not believing it. If you're believing it, you're not doubting it. Psalm 103, verse 1 through 3 says, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins, and he heals all my diseases. Now, I want to show you something today. I want you to see something. I want Holy Spirit to break something in each of us, that any doubt, any fear that may be there, I want him to break it off today. So let's just pray for a moment, all right? Just close your eyes for a moment. I want to ask the Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to break every chain of fear, every chain of doubt, every stronghold that the enemy has set up in our lives, I ask you to crush and demolish in the name of Jesus by the power of Holy Spirit. Father, bring freedom to us today through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget. May I never forget all the good things he has done for me. Amen? Because he forgives all my sins and he heals all my diseases. He forgives all my sins and look at somebody and say, he forgives all my sins. Look at somebody else and say, he heals all my diseases. Now, it's interesting that we have no problem believing the first part of this promise. We have no problem with that. We believe the first part. Right? Easy. How many of you believe that he forgives all your sins? All right? How many of you are thankful you're forgiven? Amen. Amen. We are, right? We have no problem believing that he forgives all of our sins. Then why is it that we struggle with believing that he heals all of our sickness and disease? There it is, right there, Psalm 103:3. It's in the same verse. In the very same verse, he forgives all my sins, he heals all my diseases. It was a complete work on the cross. Complete. He didn't leave anything out. But the enemy has lied to the church today. Lied to the church. To tell the church that, yeah, he forgives all your sins, but he really can't heal all your diseases. And he doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't work that way anymore. And so many people have gotten sucked into this lie because they see what's happening in the world today, and then they go, or they had something happen in their lives. Maybe they got sick. Some of the questions we asked earlier. And then all of a sudden, that enemy comes in and lies and says, see, Jesus doesn't heal today. I mean, for many Christians, the sad thing is, for many Christians, many believers, they think it's like a crapshoot. They think it's like winning the lottery. That's what they think healing's like. Well, sometimes I roll the dice and win, and sometimes I lose. That's what many believers believe today. Because this happened in my life, or that happened in my life, or whatever, and so I don't know if I can just trust and believe that he heals all my sicknesses and all my diseases. And if we're being honest in here today, there are many people in here today that have felt that way, or maybe even feel that way right now. Just not sure. I know the word says that, and I know I'm supposed to say that, but I just don't know. Deep inside, I don't know. I struggle with believing. Come on, y'all. Anybody ever been like me where, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief? Anybody? You know, Lord, I know what your word says. I really do trust your word, Father, but I struggle sometimes because there's so many questions, and when I'm feeling all these symptoms and I'm fighting this battle, I want to believe, but help my unbelief. And this scripture is so true and so real, and it's such a great promise because I love that it puts in that he forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. Amen? He leaves nothing out. And so I would say to you today, instead of protesting about the problem, why don't we praise him for the promise? And that's what the scripture's saying. This scripture's saying, may I never forget all the good things that he does for me. May I never forget all that he's done in my life. May I never forget that he did heal or forgive all my sins, so I know he's going to heal all my diseases. I'm forgiven. I'm free. I don't have to beg him for forgiveness, so I shouldn't have to beg him for healing. Amen? That's right. And you don't have to. But many people believe they have to beg God. I'll say it. I said it 1,000 times. I'll say it again. There are no beggars in the kingdom of God. You don't have to beg God for anything. You don't have to beg him for forgiveness, and you don't have to beg him for healing. All you have to do is believe. That's it. Instead of protesting about the problem, we should praise him for the promise. See, we can believe him that he's our Redeemer. The church is really good at that. He's my Redeemer. He forgives me. I'm forgiven. I can walk in here with clean hands because my Savior has forgiven me. But how many of us can believe that he also heals every disease, every sickness? Or are we paralyzed with fear? Let me ask you another question. How many of you believe? Let me just say it to you this way. I'm going to say it again. You've already said that you believe that he's forgives all your sins, but if you believe that he forgives all your sins, how many of you are still sinning? Are you still sin? Anybody still sin? Okay, so I needed to rephrase that because you're like, I'm still sinning. Not that you're living in sin, but you. Anybody still commit a sin in this place? There you go. You better all get your hands up, because if you didn't put your hand up, you just sinned. True. No, it's not that good of a joke. It doesn't deserve a clap. So if we are forgiven, we believe that we're forgiven all of our sins, yet we still sin, then why do we question that he heals all our diseases just because we get sick? Did you hear what I just said? Right? I mean, we understand grace. That's why we believe that he's forgiven all our sins, even though we sin occasionally, right? We understand God's grace is sufficient for me. His power is made perfect in my weakness. His grace covers. Thank you, Father, that your grace covers a multitude of sins. Thank you, Father, that you don't just erase my name out of the book when I made a mistake. Aren't you thankful for that? We can still also say, thank you, Father, that you heal all my sickness, all my disease, even though right now I'm experiencing symptoms of sickness. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:12 says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. And Psalm 107:20 says, he sent out his, say it, word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. This scripture actually means he healed them and has forgiven them from all their sins. There it is again. In the same scripture, both of them. Healed, he sent his word and healed us, and he forgave us, delivered us from destruction. It's a complete work. I'm trying to show you today that it's a complete work. He not only has forgiven all your sins, but he's also healed all your diseases. It's already been done. It's already been accomplished. Just like your forgiveness was already accomplished on the cross, healing was already accomplished on the cross as well. Both of them have been accomplished. Both have been done. So here's another question. What do you have to do to be saved? What do you have to do to be saved? Believe, right? It's as simple as that, right? Maybe we need to teach on that a minute because I didn't get that answer like I thought I would. What do you have to do to be saved? Believe. Do you have to beg? Do you have to do something? Do you have to work for it? No? Do you have to dress the right way? Do you have to clean your life up first? No. Do you have to get together with a bunch of friends and pray through? No. I could keep going, but I might just offend if I keep going. So that might be Bill and not Holy Spirit right there, so I'm going to stop. All you have to do to be saved is believe. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever in him will not perish but have everlasting life, right? All we have to do is believe. So what do you have to do to be healed? That's right. Just believe. That's it. Just believe. Same exact answer. Ephesians 2:8 says it this way in the English Standard Version, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift from God. Amen? Same thing for healing. For healing, it's a gift from God. Just like salvation is a gift from God. Healing is a gift from God. There's nothing you can do but believe. There's nothing you have to do but believe. Now, I know that sounds difficult. I mean, I feel just a little tense in here. So just loosen up. Shake it off a little bit. Shake it off. Just loosen up. Because I know how the enemy has lied to me, and if he's lying to me like he is, I know he's lying to you. And he's trying to convince you that you have to do something to be healed. You have to stand a certain way with your foot just raised and your mouth just. And then if you stand that way long enough, maybe God will come by and maybe you'll win the lottery and he'll heal you. I'm just telling, listen, I can tell you this because I know from experience. I know how the enemy has attacked my body. Did you hear what I said? The enemy has attacked my body. God didn't give me a sickness or disease. What kind of sick God would he be if he crucified his own son so that we can be free and we can be healed, and then he put sickness on us? But he's not that way. He's a good, good father. And he loves us with an everlasting love. And he pours it out on us. He wants us to have it more than we want it. He wants us to have this healing more than we want it, because he gave, think about this. Jesus was beaten beyond recognition. The stripes that he took upon his back, when we say that, we can't even describe how gruesome it was. Do you understand? His flesh was ripped off the bone. His back, they said you could see his ribs. You could see the bones because all of his flesh was ripped off. Like they had laid it wide open. And then they put the cross upon him and made him carry the distance to Calvary. He took that beating so that you don't have to be beaten up anymore. He took that upon himself so that I don't have to suffer with sickness and disease. And I'm sick and tired of the enemy defeating the church with this fear and doubt that God's word is not true. His word is true. And we are forgiven and we are healed. It's already done. It's already done. He doesn't make us beg for it. He doesn't make us crawl to him. All he asks that we do is believe it. Just believe. Now, I want to read this again. Ephesians 2:8 from the New Living Translation said, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. When you believed. Luke 8:40. Let me read this to you. Luke 8:40 through 56. It says this: when Jesus returned to Galilee, the crowds were overjoyed, for they had been waiting for him to arrive. Just then a man named Jairus came, the leader of the local Jewish congregation, and fell before Jesus' feet. He desperately begged him to come and heal his 12-year-old daughter, his only child, because she was at the point of death. Jesus started to go with him to his home to see her, but a large crowd surrounded him. In the crowd that day was a woman who had suffered greatly for 12 years from slow bleeding. Even though she had spent all that she had on healers, she was still suffering. Pressing in through the crowd, she came up behind Jesus and touched the tassel of his prayer shawl. Instantly, the bleeding stopped and she was healed. Jesus suddenly stopped and said to his disciples, "Someone touched me. Who is it?" While they all denied it, Peter pointed out, "Master, everyone is touching you, trying to get closer to you. The crowds are so thick, we can't walk through these people without being jostled." Jesus replied, "Yes, but I felt a power surge through me. Someone touched me to be healed, and they received their healing." Let me just stop right here for a moment and point out, notice where the healing power came from. Jesus. Came from Jesus. It didn't come from what she did. It came from Jesus. It didn't come. I'm going to tell you, I'm stopping here because so many people, I've heard preachers before preach on this, and they were really talking about she pushed through. She pushed through. She had so much faith that she pushed through that crowd, and because she pushed through and she had so much faith, that's why she was healed. No, she wasn't healed because of that. She was healed because she believed, and Jesus released the power. Amen? That's why she was healed. Don't let the enemy twist this. Don't get mistaken here. She was not healed because she just crawled and begged and pushed through, and she did so much on her own that Jesus finally relented and healed her. She was healed because all she had to do was believe. Just believe. That's it. And when the woman realized she couldn't hide any longer, she came and fell trembling at Jesus' feet before the entire crowd, she declared, "I was desperate to touch you, Jesus, for I knew if I could just touch the fringe of your robe, I would be healed." And Jesus responded, "Beloved daughter, your faith in me has released your healing. You may go with my peace." Now listen to me. Listen closely. The Greek word for faith here is pistis, which means believe. Believe. That's what that word means. Believe. The Greek word for healed here is sozo, or sozo. That's how you say it. Sozo. S-O-Z-O, which we have a ministry called Sozo, which means saved, healed, delivered. What Jesus literally was saying, "Daughter, your belief in me has saved, healed, and delivered you." That's what he said. He said, "Daughter, your belief in me has saved, healed, and delivered you." A complete work. This is before the cross. A complete work. All you have to do is believe, and you will be saved, healed, and delivered. It says, while Jesus was still speaking to the woman, someone came from Jairus' house and told him, "There's no need to bother the master any further. Your daughter has passed away. She's gone." When Jesus heard this, he said, "Jairus, don't yield to your fear. Have faith in me and she will live again." Don't yield to your fear. Don't be paralyzed with fear. Can I just ask you a question this morning? If your daughter was sick and then someone came from the hospital and said, "Forget about it, she's dead," would you be paralyzed with fear? I mean, if we're honest, many of us would say yes. Many of us would say, at that moment, when someone told me that my daughter had died, at that moment, that would be it. I would feel like it's over. But Jesus didn't say it's over, did he? No. Death could not hold him. Death could not hold him down. And he was trying to show us that death can't hold us down either. Nothing is impossible for those who believe. Believe. If you just believe, nothing's impossible. So he said, "Jairus, don't yield to your fear. Have faith in me. Believe in me, and she will live again." And when they arrived at the house, Jesus only allowed Peter, John, and Jacob, along with the child's parents, to go inside. Jesus told those left outside, who were sobbing and wailing with grief, "Stop crying. She's not dead. She's asleep and must be awakened." And they laughed at him, knowing for certain that she had died. And then Jesus approached the body and took the girl by the hand and called out with a loud voice, "My sleeping child, awake! Rise up." And instantly her spirit returned to her body and she stood up. And Jesus directed her stunned parents to give her something to eat and ordered them not to tell anyone what just had happened. Just a moment ago, we read from Psalm 107:20 that said, "He sent his word and healed us." I want to read you Psalm 107:21. Psalm 107:21 says, "Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done." Let them praise the Lord for his great love and the wonderful things. Look at me. Y'all, they're just coming in. They're going to play a song here in a moment called Healer. All right? So just look at me for a second. I know they're interesting people. But I don't want to lose you at this moment, okay? I don't want to lose you. Listen to me. Something's going to break in this place. There's going to be a belief that rises up in us that cannot be shaken by the enemy. You understand me? I don't know about you, but I need it. I need it. I need to go deeper. I need more. How many of you need more? Come on, I need more. I need, Father, I believe, but help my unbelief. And when I say help my unbelief, I don't really know. That phrase to me means get it all out of me. Get all that unbelief out of me, Father. I just want to believe fully. I don't want to be paralyzed with fear anymore. I just want to totally believe. I'm okay, Father. If I die today, I'm okay. I know where I'm going. I know I'll be with Jesus, but that's not his promise. His promise isn't that you got to suffer and suffer and suffer with this sickness and disease. Are you listening to me today? That's not his promise. His promise isn't that you have to stay sick and just hang on, and if you hang on long enough, you'll die and you'll go to heaven anyway. And heaven's great and wonderful, and I can't wait to get there. Can you? I can't wait. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, right? But Father, while I'm here on this earth, your promise said that I don't have to suffer with sickness and disease. Your promise said that Jesus took the beating upon himself so that I can be free and I can be healed. So I'm not going to let the enemy come back on me with this sickness. I don't have to. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. These lies from the enemy, I'm not going to receive that any longer. So I want to show you a scripture. You go ahead and start playing. Acts chapter 9, verse 33 through 35 in the Passion Translation says this. It says, Peter met a man named Aeneas who had been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. And Peter said to Aeneas, Jesus, the anointed one, instantly and divinely heals you. Can I say that again? Jesus, the anointed one, instantly and divinely heals you. Now get up and make your bed. And all at once he stood to his feet. And when the people of Lydda and Sharon saw him, they became believers in the Lord. Now listen to me. This is a great passage, and I'm going to share something with you, but I don't want you to miss this part. All at once he stood up. And when all the people of these two towns saw that he stood up, instantly, immediately they became believers. They became what? Believers. Immediately they believed in Jesus. I know you want to be healed. And I know you want your loved ones to be healed so that they don't have to suffer or you don't have to suffer with sickness any longer. And that's great. And that's why I want to be healed too. But there's a greater reason here. I want to be healed so everybody who sees this healing believes in Jesus. Amen? Because that's his heart cry. So that's my heart cry. And when I think about this, I think about my daughter, Gabrielle, who's our youth pastor here, and I think about the 8 surgeries she's had in the last little over a year. And I think about how we've said, Lord, we believe. We believe. We believe. And then I look at the journey that she's been on. Scott, this is my son-in-law, Gabrielle's husband. And I look at the journey that they've been on. And then I start thinking about what's happening around them. And I see the doctors that have been treating her, the surgeons. I see her going down there, and the doctors, I don't know if you were here last week, but I shared this last week, and I see the doctors saying to her, listen, I don't know what's happening, but you're healing too fast. And so because your eyes are healing so fast, the scar tissue's building up, and so we need it, the healing to slow down. And she said, well, I'm healing too fast because I'm asking Jesus to heal me. And this is what the doctor said to her. Can you please pray that the healing will slow down? These are not believers. But I believe they're about to believe. Amen? Because when you see how God works, when you see how good he is, you can't help but be drawn to him. Amen? And that's what I want. I want those around me to see the goodness of God, to see his hand in my life, to see how he miraculously works in me and through me so that they're drawn to him, so that their soul will be saved. But here's the great thing about this scripture. Here's so powerful. The man that Peter met, his name is Aeneas. You know what Aeneas means? Praise. Now think about this. Praise had been paralyzed for 8 years. I don't know if you heard that. Praise had been paralyzed for 8 years. Y'all listening up there in the balcony? Wave at me. Yeah, they're waving at me. 8 years, praise had been paralyzed. And here's the cool thing. Eight, in the Bible, eight is the number of new beginnings. And I believe there are people in here that you've been paralyzed with fear. Maybe because of something that's happening in your life, maybe because of sickness or disease you're going through, or maybe because of something that's happened to someone you love. But God did not intend for us to live paralyzed in fear. He said, just like he said to Jairus, don't be paralyzed with fear, only believe in me, and she will be made whole. How many of you are ready to just step up and believe all the way? That's what I want you to do. I want you to stand. Stand up. Prayer team, I want you to come forward right now. I want our prayer team to come. I want our prayer team to come. Will you just bring the lights down in the house, please? Bring the lights down in the house. I just want this be between you and Holy Spirit right now. Just you and the Lord. I don't want you looking around. This is what I want to ask first before the prayer team lays hands on anybody this morning. How many of you would say that you've been paralyzed with fear? Come on, just lift your hand up. You've been paralyzed with fear. Something's been going on. Something's happened to someone you love or yourself. Raise it up high. Raise it up high. Keep it up. Come on, it's okay. We're all family here. Raise it up. And today you want to be set free from that. You just want to believe. Just believe. Just believe. So keep your hand up. Say, Father. Come on, say it out loud. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I ask you, Father, to strip away all fear. All doubt. Father, I believe. Help me, Father, to fully believe. In Jesus' name, amen.